Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Welcome back to WIP Midday Show live in Clearwater, Florida. And joining us right now, Phillies catcher JT Realmuto. JT, what's up, man?
Not much. Got a beautiful morning here. Happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you. We got a chance to do this last year, and now we do it again this year. So we're at that part of camp where it's like you're almost there. You guys are almost at the end. So, like, where are you right now? Your spring training, your readiness for the season, you ready to go, or you feel like you need this last week or so?
I feel pretty ready to go, honestly. I think really just as a whole for our whole team, the most important thing right now is just being healthy coming out of camp. I think everybody's looked great. You can tell guys put a lot of work in the offseason, and at this point just kind of – fine-tuning some small things and staying healthy and getting ready to rock.
You know, you keep saying staying healthy, and I know last year was the first time you've missed some significant time in your career. So my question to you is this: how did you change? Did you change the way that you worked out in this offseason to kind of, you know, since you're a little bit older now, to kind of help stave off of some of those injuries?
Yeah, I did. I just try to put a little less weight on my body. So I've kind of fluctuated in my career between, like, 211, 212, and then last year I was up to like 217 on purpose. I was trying to put a little muscle on last year. Mm-hmm. And this year I've just kind of gone back to what I had done before, which is a little leaner, a little lighter, and just changed my routine as far as with Morgan and Fury. My workout routine's changed. I'm a little more like cardio, not a bunch of cardio. I'm still working out, but a little less like heavy, put a bunch of weight on my back and move it a few times. It's more like higher rep. More cardio type stuff.
Did you have to change your diet as well, or just more of your workout program?
The diet stayed pretty much the same. Yeah, it was more just the workout program.
So is this year seven now for you here? Is this year seven?
Yeah,
2019.
Yeah,
wow,
it's gone fast.
Yeah,
it's insane.
Wow, it has. So you've been the catcher for a long time, and we know your contract's up after this season. Has there been any talks? Like, and for you, if there hasn't been, is that something you wouldn't want to do during the season, or are you open if the Phillies come to you to try to make this a thing even more years after this?
There have been some talks. Yes, I'm gonna. You know, I'll keep the content of those talks to myself just because I'm more of a private person, but. I'm open to anything, you know. It doesn't matter if it's spring training season. I enjoy being here. I've made that pretty well known that my family loves it here. We love being a part of this organization. You know, this is one of the few organizations in baseball that really takes care of their players. They're first class, and they try to win every season. So, obviously, it's a place that we want to be, and it's a place we've enjoyed being so far.
So there was some talk earlier in camp about maybe you catching a little bit less this year as you get a little older and maybe less wear and tear in your body. How'd those conversations with Topper go? And how do you think that's going to go during the season? Is it a thing you think maybe they'll build in an extra day off, or is it more how you feel might be how they determine how much you play?
That's a good question. I honestly don't know. I don't think there's a right answer yet because we just don't know what the season's going to look like. I just have to be honest with Topper and with myself about how I'm feeling. I'm sure there'll be a few more off days, maybe – on the long stretches where we're playing 11, 12 games in a row. But as far as the off days go, I feel like if I'm just honest with Tom's and let him know how I'm feeling, like maybe a day game after a night game, not pushing it every single time and trying to be in there, just making those adjustments, I think my body will be in a good spot.
You know what, a lot of times, especially when you get a little bit older, you know, it's you know, physically you feel great. You still do some of the things that you were able to do when you were younger. But I want to know, how do you feel mentally about the space that you're in right now, and how are you feeling about baseball as a whole?
I feel great. I mean, honestly, my wife and I were talking about this last week, just how much fun we're still having playing baseball, which is as long as we've been doing it, I still love it. Like, I mm-hmm. still love – it's part of the reason I try to play so much, because I don't like not playing. Like, you know, the games where I'm on the bench seem to always last a lot longer and are way more stressful than when I'm actually playing the game. So mentally, I'm in a great space. I'm still loving it. The guys I play with make it easy as well, because it's a lot of fun here, and we enjoy playing together. We enjoy winning together. So I would say mentally, I'm as good as I've ever been as far as baseball goes.
So the next question I have for you is, when I say JT's going to be playing baseball 10 years from now, how do you feel about that?
Oh, 10 years, that's a lot. I'm going to definitely play as long as I can. I don't know if 10 years is enough. Not so much because of me or my body. I think just my family, with where my kids are going to be. Uh-huh. It's going to be probably time for me to be spending a little more time with them by then.
No, because I asked that question because when I talked about it and I asked you about the mental part, your eyes kind of lit up, and that's why I kind of, you know, led into that how much longer do you see yourself playing type deal.
Yeah, and it's the same. Like, I don't have a specific number I want to play to. It's really just a year by year. Like, I mean, obviously at this point I know I have quite a few years left. I'm not close to my last year or anything. Mm-hmm. But I think when I get towards the end, it's going to be like a year-to-year thing, talking with my wife, talking with my kids, like, how are they feeling? Because I truly believe that's going to be the time where I hang it up, is when my kids aren't enjoying it as much anymore and they want me home a little more.
Gotcha.
You mentioned winning with this team. And last time we talked to you, there was a big theme of spring training last year. Like, you guys got to finish the deal, win the World Series. It feels like this year you guys have talked about that less, at least publicly. I just have heard less of that. Has that been a conscious thing? Is it more just kind of staying focused day to day? Where is this team mentally? Because it's been a really great last 3 years, but you haven't gotten over the hump yet. And last year, I just, for the fan base, was really disappointed the way last year ended against the Mets. Where are you guys in terms of how you talk about expectations among yourselves?
Well, first of all, for the team, we were just as disappointed as the fan base was, for sure, after that Mets series. So I think we're just focused, honestly. I don't think there's much need to talk about what we want to do, because we have talked about it so much in the past, and we haven't been able to climb over that hill yet. So I think everybody's just focused, and we clearly all have one goal in mind. We just don't feel the need to talk about it this year. We know how hard it is. We know how we have to be playing the right baseball at the right time. So we need to be able to make those adjustments. When things aren't going well our way in the playoffs, we have to be able to make those adjustments in real time and not sit on our hands. And so we know this year things have to be different. We got to be able to make those adjustments.
So in the division, you got the Braves coming back with all the injuries they had. The Mets have Juan Soto. This feels like it's as good. I mean, this division's always good. You've been in your whole career, but it feels like there's some loaded teams. I mean, I was looking at some of the power rankings this morning. Through all three teams in this division are in the top five in baseball, at least one power rank. It feels like this division is stacked.
It is, yeah. It's crazy. It feels like every year since I've been here with the Phillies, this division just keeps getting tougher and tougher. You know, the Braves were so good for so long, and they still are. There's just the Mets have gotten that much better. We're in a great spot. So the National League is, as a whole, is just it's a gauntlet. There's a lot of really good teams, and it's deep. So, like I said, it's going to be a tough year, but we have confidence in our group, and we just got to be playing good baseball at the right time.
Let's talk about the staff. JT Realmuto with us here at Live at Phillies Spring Training. Last year when we were with you, you told us watch out for Ranger, and then he like basically didn't lose for like 3 months after. So who stood out to you? Who's throwing the ball well, the movement? Like, when you're catching them, who's the one that you said, wow, this looks good this year?
To all of them. But if I would say this spring, if I had to pick one, which is tough to do because they really have thrown the ball well, Sanchi has stood out to me. As good as he's been the last couple of years, it feels like he's come into camp and honestly taken another step. He's just, his velocity's up, his location's better. It's fun to watch how much of a pitcher he's become. You know, when he first got to us, he was a kind of just chucking rocks, and like, he had great stuff, but not, it was kind of, hey, we got to set up down the middle and just let him throw it, you know, find out what he can throw for strikes that day and let's get outs with it. Now he's manipulating the baseball. He's pitching to both sides of the plate. He's front hipping right-handed hitters. It's just like he's gotten so much better, and it's been fun to watch him.
Well, he's been incredible. I mean, every time we watch the games are on our air. His velocity, the velocity jump, that's crazy. Because I mean, I know that happens, but I feel like when he got here to now, it went down, and now it's. I mean, he's hitting 99 last week.
And it's easy. It's effortless. Yeah. I caught his bullpen yesterday morning, and he's throwing like 95, 96 at 9 a.m. in the morning, and just dotting spots. And like his slider's gotten so much better. He's always had great fastball changeup. But the command of those two pitches and then adding the slider, I feel like the sliders have been a little more consistent this spring training, so I'm really excited for him and his year.
How about offense with the approach? And there was a lot of talk this year about, you know, kind of last year was about chase, right? And this year it's about approach at the plate and how you guys, you know, trying to hone in that. Is that something that you spend a lot of time on every day? Is it more like this is our philosophy and let's try to do that every day? How for you as a hitter, how is it when the team tried to kind of implement something new offensively as a team?
It's good. I think that as a whole, we obviously weren't happy with how the offense performed last year at the end of the season, so we knew we had to come in and make an adjustments. It's definitely a daily work, like every single day in the cage, at least. I mean, we all work at different times, so for me specifically, it's I work with K-Long and Dusty about being able to not just not swing at balls, but like be aggressive to strikes and know the strike zone better, and I feel like that's when you're in your best mindset as a hitter. You can't be up there trying not to chase. You have to be able to, hey, I'm going to hit this pitch. I want to be aggressive here and let your eyes do the work to not swing it at the pitches that aren't in that zone. But you can't do that if you're not ready to hit the one you want to hit. So I feel like that's the mindset, is being aggressive to our spot and not becoming passive hitters, because you've seen the guys in this lineup. Like, everybody can hit. We've all been great at times. So we just have to be more consistent in our zones and attack those spots.
I'm kind of curious. When we talk about, you know, changing the approach and everything coming up to the plate, how long does it take to adjust to change something like that?
It takes a while to, you know, a lot of times when guys are trying to change, and I've fallen victim to this in the past, is they'll take what they're trying to do onto the field and actually thinking about stuff in the game. And that's when all of us, I think, have struggled the most, is when we are trying to make adjustments, we're making those adjustments in game and actually thinking in the box about mechanics or this or that. And all the work has to be done in the cage. You have to do all your thinking, all your working in the cage. And when you go out in the game, it has to be, hey, I got to see the ball and I got to hit the ball. It literally has to be that simple, because you have to be so fast with your decision making. And I know, just speaking for myself, when I've struggled the most in my career, it's been I'm thinking about something mechanical in the box, or like, where's my foot? Where's my hands? What am I doing? And at that point, you're already beat because you're behind the eight ball.
Let's end with this. How's the golf game? You walked in here and Hugh mentioned golf. You lit up. How's the golf game?
Kyle mentioned golf. Yeah. And I was just like, golf?
Yeah.
We're not the biggest golf show.
No.
One time we went to a golf outing, he wore a sweatsuit. So we're not the biggest golf show.
I tell you, it's good. It's been fun. We had our golf tournament a few weeks ago with the boys. We had a good time out there. And I tell you, the weather here in Philly, in Florida, has been a little windy for golf, so I haven't played as much. But the golf game's in a good spot right now.
Good stuff. JT, good luck this season. We'll be watching. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
There he goes. JT Realmuto here on the Midday Show. It was great having JT on there, Hugh, with us. As we had him, we talked to him last year, and it was interesting having him back this year with us, because now this is the last year of his contract. And I thought it was – I didn't know what he was going to say, because a lot of times players ask a player about that, and they say, I'm not talking about it, or it's up to the team. He the way I viewed it, he made it clear he'd love to stay here. He talked about he's been here 7 years now. And he said him and his agent, they've talked. He wouldn't give us details, of course. And he even seemed open to an in-season extension. Like, if they come to him and they say, we want to bring you back, I think he wants to stay here to finish up his career.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. And he kind of perked up when we talked about that, and how hope springs eternal for this season and everything like that. It seemed like he's just ready for baseball season to get started, man, to see where he lands in all of this, how this team fares in all of this.
So let me ask you this. So JT is coming off of, by his standards, a down year, right? He missed time. His numbers were not as good.
Knee situation.
Yep. He only hit 14 home runs, he had 266. He was fine when he played, but he wasn't as good as he's been in years past. I know some people may not agree with this. I would re-sign him if I were the Phillies right now, because I don't think they have the next catcher.
They don't have yet. They don't have the viable backup that's coming up yet. So, yeah, it would be smart. Because, like you said, I know I extended the number a little bit. 10 years, that's a long-ass time to be playing shortstop. But I didn't want it to be a situation where
I was thinking one number, and it was
you want a short, and short
I didn't want to I didn't want to slide him because he might be thinking longer.
So better to go longer than short there.
Yeah. I was thinking a little bit longer in that situation.
So this will be his age 34 season, which means next year he'll start his contract age 35. Like, I don't know how many more years he has left. I would give him a 3-year contract right now. I would sign him to a 3-year deal right now and try to bridge the next few years, because I know Marshawn's probably going to be the backup this year instead of Stubbs. I don't know if Marshawn's an everyday catcher. And then they have a kid in the minor leagues, but he's 18 years old. He might be years away. Kyle, would you give JT a contract right now, or would you wait the 6 year?
No, I would. Like, I mean, you guys mentioned it. We don't really have a backup plan, or like one that's viable for like for the near future at least. And we don't really know about what these kids are going to be. So I feel like you're kind of in a spot where you're forced to. Like, you have to do this.
Yeah, and then, like, if they wait, they could see what he does this year. And if he doesn't play well, they could maybe not re-sign him. But they're also risking, like, what if he has one more big year and then they have to overpay to keep him? Like, if you get him now, you got him.
But I also kind of feel like they're in a spot where, with the roster and all the guys they're paying right now, the toothpaste is out of the tube. So they kind of, I mean, like I said, they're kind of in a spot where I feel like they have to do this. Like, what are they going to do, let him go? They don't have anybody.
Yeah, they are. And I think the fact that he wants to stay, which to me, that means he's not interested in free agency. Yeah. I think if they bring him a contract extension offer that is reasonable. Yeah. I don't think he's going to make as much as he made on his last deal because he's going into his later years. But if they bring him a reasonable deal, it sounds to me like he wants to stay here.
Yeah, and there's no salary cap, right? So it sounds weird to say. But they could end up in a situation where he's more of just – they probably will – where he's more of just a part-time player.
Yep.
They get another guy in here. But, I mean, it's more about just locking him down as opposed to, like, how much you're going to pay him, because who cares?
Yeah, and then, well, the playing time thing, too. If you lock him up, then you could prioritize, like, hey, we got you for 3 more years. We need to take care of you and not play you as much. 215-592-9494. Here, the other thing that stood out is asking him who stood out to him so far in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned Christopher Sanchez. That feels like the name everyone is saying, Christopher Sanchez. Like, he's ready to, like, level up this year.
Yeah, and I think you're going to need that, man, when you talk about pitching. Pitching was never an issue. But down the stretch a little bit, it was somewhat of a conversation to be had. Not as much as it was the bats, but it was a conversation that was had. And I think they feel really good about that, especially when you talk about the young guy, Andrew Painter, potentially coming up and you going to a 6-man rotation. So I think they're real excited about that. And I think that in some way that's going to help them when they get the cold bats, when you got 1 or 2 run games, and you're going to have that lights out pitcher.
Offense and luxury, not a necessity.
No, I'm not saying that. I don't.
How long until he's on that?
I feel like
it's mid April.
I don't.
They get shut out 2 out of 3 games.
Gonna,
I'm losing my mind. And you tell me they're pitching.
They're fine. I'm not going to do that.
No one believes that. 215-592-949. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Are you ready for your first pitch? That's the question.
Am I?
Yeah, mentally. No, I didn't think so.
No, but I'm. Listen, man. To be a person that was put on the spot like that to go out and throw a pitch, I'm not hoping for a whole lot.
I can tell you're really eager to do it.
Yeah, if I could just snap my fingers and be anywhere else, I would not be here right now.
You got a crowd waiting for you.
Yeah,
out there.
Gonna... like who? When did he play? Yeah, all of that.
That guy with the bald spot.
Yeah, I'm gonna put my hat on for that. I ain't gonna see the bald spot.
It's bald, got the salt and pepper.
Got the salt and pepper baldy spot.
Have we checked it in the poll to see how the bald spot conversation is going? We gotta check that out.
Okay. You know what's gonna happen? He's gonna go out there, and all the little kids are gonna be like, "Dad, who's that?
Who is? Yeah, that's like he played for who? Oh, and they gonna say, "Oh no, he couldn't play this year.
Long time
he was
ago,
on the
son.
Eagles now.
Long,
that
yeah,
guy.
Yeah,
no
long
shot.
58% are saying don't grow the hair out, even though you're balding.
Yeah, that's where I would
agree.
Yeah,
I'm surprised
spot.
It's that close. To be honest,
it's a ball spot.
I think people want you to make a fool.
Well, it's like at this point, embrace it. Embrace the ball spot.
It is what it is.
Because it's a lot of cats that and we ain't gonna say no names.
No,
Ross Tucker, that has it does a little bit of the calm over. Every now and then. I love him to death though. But let's just be real. Let's just keep it a beat.
Every time this conversation comes up, you call out a new person for.
No, I'm just saying, Mosh has a calm over.
Could have caught everyone. Everyone.
No, because I forgot. I can't tell if Mike Mike's sitting over there. I don't know if Mike has the ball. I can't remember. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah. Me and Mike got the call the same. We got the call the same working.
See, you know what, I mean? The good thing about this is that I will never like be able to or have to question if I'm balding.
Because I'm going
to
let
me.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm telling you.
I wish I knew you earlier in life. I didn't know for years.
No, let me tell you. I'm going to tell you for two reasons. Because I care about you, and I'm excited that you're bald. Like you're going bald.
You got another one joining
the
club?
Yeah, it's not me and Joe.
This is the drunk uncle.
I did notice that the baldies are a very welcoming.
Oh, yeah, go on in, because it's like everybody goes through that.
Yeah,
No, plus, you know what the worst part about, because how old are you, Kyle?
I'm 29. I'll be 30 this year.
Oh, yeah, you'll know. Once you hit 30, you'll know if you're going to keep it or not. Because I thought I was in that sweet spot where I hit 30, and I thought I was good.
And you were not.
And then when I went, because I used to get my hair braided, and the lady told me.
Oh, is that how you found out?
She was like, your hair is a little thin at the top. And I said, woman, if you don't. And then that's what I hit her with, the woman.
Oh.
If you don't just braid my hair and be quiet.
But she was right.
Yeah.
She does it for a living. She knows.
She knew that thing was
backpedaling. It's got to be tough to hear the first time. But then eventually you embrace it.
Well, it's just like, man, I did all this for nothing. And then, you know, when you know what the worst part is? Like when you let it grow a little bit and it feels like it might grow.
Yeah.
And then when the other hair just go ahead around your head. It does what it does in that one spot. Yeah. It just don't grow.
Well, you wake up, you're like, maybe it'll just stay that tiny, the bald spot.
You know what the bald spot's like? And I'm pretty sure everybody can relate. It's like, you know how when you have a newborn baby and their hair starts, it's that little, like the peach fuzz. It's like that.
It
feels just like that. Oh, look at it. And it's not as cute.
No, yeah, not for an adult.
Not on old people. Yeah, not on older people.
Let's go to Ken in Cinnamon. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Hey,
what's going on, man?
Hey, Hugh, don't worry, because I was there when you threw your first pitch last year, and I can tell you with absolute certainty half of the Phillies lineup would have swung at that thing. So,
hey, kid, it's going to be a lot worse. Because, like, mentally, I was mentally prepared for that day because I knew it was coming.
You had worked hard for about a month to get ready.
Today, it's just going to be, man, let's just hurry and get through this moment.
That might be better.
Best that we can.
Don't think, just do. So,
yeah, let's just Herbie get through this moment.
Are you playing fastball? You know what?
I'm thinking about groove. Grooving will probably be my safe bet.
You already
bet.
Did the fastball, man.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to groove. It's just groove.
Spring training. Tinker with some
stuff. Does Hugh bounce the pitch?
Oh, easily.
See, now I can't bounce it because I never lay that down.
Yep. Huh? Go ahead, Ken.
So, baseball season is less, about a week away? So,
10 days, yep.
This is the last thing I'm going to say about the Eagles until at least after the draft.
No, that's not true.
You know, I know rage is the coin of the realm on WIP, but, you know, this is a team that just won the Super Bowl and is bringing back all of the best players from that Super Bowl team. I can't get too worked up about it. Mekhi Becton, obviously, we know the Eagles value positional versatility on the offensive line, and it's pretty obvious that they don't see any in Mekhi Becton, and I don't want to see that guy ever playing tackle in an Eagles uniform because we know what that looks like. So, you know, it's March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. So they've got 9 months till they have to play a football game. So the Phillies, the thing that worries me the most about the Phillies is not even the offseason moves that they did or didn't make. We have, you know, Dave Dombrowski, who continues to tell us, don't believe what you saw. We were actually middle of the pack on chasing in the postseason last year. We weren't the worst team when it comes to chasing. And then I'm reading the Scott Lauber column in the Inquirer yesterday where Kevin Long, the hitting coach, who's supposed to be the guy who's primarily responsible for you know, changing this approach, is quoted by Scott Lauber as saying, the Mets actually chased more than we did in that series. So my problem is that I don't think that they believe it's a problem themselves. So I don't know how you're going to fix it. If as an organization, you're out there paying lip service to it to try and satisfy the fan base who watched what they watched, but you obviously don't yourself believe that you have a core problem with this baseball team, that they just have zero plate discipline. So I don't think they believe it themselves. So moving the guys around in the batting order, I don't really see where that's going to have a tremendous amount of impact on on whether or not they change their approach at the plate. It's just
there is some denial there, Ken. I mean, the Dombrowski cut, and Ken, good phone call from when he was on with the morning show a couple weeks ago, and then the Kevin Long quote that Ken just brought up. That is frustrating because I don't care where they ranked in the Hmong playoff teams. We watched it. They went out that last game because they swung at bad pitches for 3 hours.
That's one of those conversations that you can't have with the fan base because everybody's not looking at analytics. And they don't believe in analytics the way that you do. They go with the eye test. And even though I'm not going to say he's lying about that, it didn't look like it. Not from watching the game. It didn't look like, you know, that they had more plate discipline than the Mets. Now, with all of that being said, I don't know what they call chasing, but it feels like they called it chasing when they were actually connecting with the pitches.
Well, you know what? That there was a couple hits the Mets got on balls off the plate.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they chased, but they turned it into a hit.
Yeah,
we're chasing and it not getting hit.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing that you have to realize, because as a fan, nobody's seen it that way. That might be the case. That might be true. But nobody's seeing, he chased that pitch. All you're seeing is the ball being hit and him running to first base to get on base. So, you can't throw that out there like that.
By the way, we just let Ken slide on that horrendous math that he did.
With the 9 months?
He said the Eagles don't play a football game for 9 months.
September is...
I mean, that's just not true.
So he's just going to jump
six
on
Six months. It's 6 months.
Well, I can't let that slide.
Yeah,
Ken's a bright guy. You know, that was a disaster.
Nine months from right now, it's almost Christmas again.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
We
figured out math.
That feels a little petty, though.
Me and Ken have that kind of thing going, you know.
Well, also,
I couldn't let that slide. Also, are you kidding me?
Touche. I respect that.
Yeah. He just doesn't want to be upset, so he's making math up.
Right,
I get it. We got you, Ken. We caught you on that one. All right, 215-592-90. 494. That is how you hop aboard. Hugh Douglas is off to throw the first pitch here at Bay Care Ballpark.
You got this. Excited.
Will it be a strike?
No.
Yes.
I say no. Will you bounce it?
Yes.
I say yes.
No, I'm not gonna bounce it because I know y'all gonna come up here. Y'all gonna pick with me if it bounces.
We absolutely
gonna be the lid at that.
All right, your phone calls.
Don't trip and fall out there. Right?
Yeah.
No, that's
no pressure.
Be relaxed. All right.
Okay.
All right. Hugh's going through the first pitch out. T-Mac's going to hop in. Your phone call as well. This is the Midday Show live from Clearwater on Sports Radio 94 WIP. FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino is turning the excitement up even higher for college basketball. Through the first two rounds of the tournament, bet on the lowest winning seed of the day, and you'll win a share of $1 million in bonus bets. Now, that's an upset you will not be upset about. I'd like Michigan as a favorite to go out early in the tournament. FanDuel is the best place to bet on the tourney. You can bet everything for spreads, the money lines, the team totals, plus so much more. Visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook today and back your dog of the day, because in March, anything can happen. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Is this Hugh's walkout song throughout the first pitch? Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. We are live today in Clearwater, Florida for Phillies spring training here as we get set for a Phillies game in which Hugh Douglas is going to throw out the first pitch today. Spring training coverage brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka, proud partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. We'll get back to your phone calls and maybe a little live play-by-play of Hugh Douglas's first pitch here. Joining us right now, a guy who knows a lot about play-by-play, Tom McCarthy. What's up, Tom?
What was his reaction when they told him?
So when he did it at the game last year, Brewers game, he had like a month to prepare, so I think he was mentally and physically ready. Not quite the same today, so I think he's a little nervous.
I don't think he's looking forward to it.
Yeah. Did he say? Who told him? Brazier told him?
Yeah. Brazier asked him on the air. We put him
on
the spot.
Which is a good strategy.
Yeah. And he said yes right away, right?
He said yes. Oh, yeah. But you could see it in his eyes, he's a little nervous.
That's kind of funny.
He's going to bounce this one. This is almost a lock. How you been, T-Mac?
I'm good. Just my last day here. I got to go leave tomorrow, so I wanted to come and catch a little St. Patrick's Day baseball, and yeah, been good.
So tell me your feeling on this team. We're at that part of the spring now where it's like, just don't get hurt, right? Everyone's pretty much got their innings in and their at-bats.
The other day when Kepler ran into the wall, and I talked to Marsh today, and he was fine, but when Marsh left the game, I'm like, oh, geez.
Yeah, right.
Because at this point, I mean, they were fine.
Yeah.
The Strom thing was a little concerning.
Right.
But I even talked to him today. He said he's fine. So, you know, that's the thing. Just don't get hurt at this point. I mean, I like this group. I think they are what you think they are. It's just whether they can do it in the postseason. And I think that's their goal, too, is like we cannot do what we've done the last two postseasons.
We were talking earlier about what kind of approach they're going to have this year. Because last year it felt like pedal to the metal from day one. They wanted to win the division.
Right.
They wanted not to have another slow start. But then it felt like maybe they ran out of gas. I don't know if that was the reason, but they just weren't the same team post-All-Star break as they were pre-All-Star break.
They were not. No, they were
not.
So
the question is, do you think they're going to prioritize that again, or are they going to say, hey, we got a little bit of an older roster, extra day off here, extra day off there, let's keep these guys fresh so when we get to September, October, they're ready to roll?
I think that'll happen pitching-wise.
Okay.
So that's why I think when you hear Painter coming up in June, their thought is maybe not six-man rotation, but maybe rotation of rotation, if that makes any sense. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. You know, I know Rob goes in every year and says, and every manager does, all right, we're going to give this guy a couple days off. JT doesn't want the time off.
Yeah, we had him on earlier.
He doesn't want the time off.
He always, like, he doesn't want to answer that question. We asked him about playing less.
He looks like so good
this
year. I mean, he's an Adonis. I mean, it's, I don't know. I think that's the goal, is to maybe give some more time off. I don't know if it's going to happen. But I will say this. Schwarber playing a lot of first base, relatively speaking, some left field, leads me to believe that they may try to do some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, right, if you do that, you could just get a guy off his feet for a day.
Let him DH.
Bryce could DH,
right.
Castellanos, who played every game last year,
right.
You can DH.
Right,
I mean,
you can move Kepler over to right field if you want to.
Yeah,
right.
You can mix and match things here. Tom McCarthy with us. Tom, what's your guess on how this leadoff thing is going to play out? Because 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I would have said, they're greasing the skids. It's going to be Turner, right? They're going to flip this around.
I thought the same thing, Joe.
But then the lineup, it feels like it goes back and forth. Today, it's going to be Schwarber leading off. Do you think Rob knows today?
I do believe he knows.
Okay.
I do believe he knows. I'm the same way you are. 3 weeks ago, I thought, all right, well, it's going to be Turner. Then Schwarber was leading off. I was like, oh, maybe it's going to be Schwarber. And then Turner went back to leading off. I still think it's going to be Turner. I do. But I don't think it's going to be stamped that it's Turner. I think if it doesn't get off to a good start, he'll go back to Schwarber leading off. You know, it is different. You know, it's funny. Cole was on with us last week, Hamels. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch any of it because you're on the air at the time. But his perspective was pretty good about, like, what Schwarber's facing batting cleanup compared to batting leadoff, and went into detail on how he would pitch him if he's batting cleanup compared to leadoff. He said, if he's batting leadoff, I'm going right after him. So that's why he's able to, you know,
hit the home runs.
Yeah, and he said, if he's batting cleanup, I'm not going right after him. So there's going to be more junk. There's going to be more, you know, for Cole, it would be the curveball or be the changeup or whatever. So he said that's what he'll have to face, which is, you know, I thought it was interesting to see how he put it more than anything else. I think he'll be fine no matter where he hits. I don't think he totally cares. I think if you pinned him, he would say, yeah, I want to lead off because he's so successful at it. But I do believe it's going to be Turner to start, but I don't think it's a stamp.
How long of a leash do you think Topper's going to have on something like that? Like, say, like you mentioned, it's not really going well. Do you feel like that's something where he gives it a month?
Or... I say a month.
Okay.
I say a month. Again, I think he's a really good manager and a really good feel person. So I would say a month if he does go that way.
Because I feel like you have to.
You have to.
Because what's the point? If you do 2 weeks, I mean, like, yeah, don't do it.
Then it's crept into your mind from the get-go. And I think people sense that. I think he does. I could be totally wrong. I will say that this weekend maybe you'll get a better indication. If you see more of Schwarber leading off, then that's probably where he's leaning.
Let's talk about this pitching staff because it looks like it's right there, top two or three in all of baseball. I mean, it's dynamic how good they are. And everyone we've talked to, including JT, says Sanchez. And he was good last year, but it sounds like he's leveled up to a different level.
It was funny. The other day, he was on with us the other day, and he wasn't happy with the way his sinker was working. So he's throwing a lot of changeups. But he also talked about how he didn't like it, but then he liked the fact that he kind of figured it out as it went on. I think he's I think we're so fortunate that, you know, every team has those guys that you kind of find. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is what they ever anticipated, but I think we're fortunate that he took it upon himself to become a better ball player. And I think it's all about him.
He's really become one of the best development stories had in a long time. Because I don't think anyone thought this. Because the Rays would have never traded him if they thought he could.
They would have put him on the 40-man roster.
Of course, yeah.
Because, I mean, he's 6'6". You know, he throws 95. Yep. He threw 95 then. He just didn't know where it was. Which baseball's littered with those kind of guys. And from a Philly standpoint, the Meade kid was coming off a good minor league season. Mm-hmm. But they're like, he's, you know, dime a dozen. Now, he's having a great spring for the Rays. And he could be a good major leaguer. But I think it was probably one of those deals that helped out both because it freed up a roster spot.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, let's talk about some of the newer guys. What have you felt and noticed so far? So Romano in the bullpen, obviously Lizardo in the back of the rotation, and Max Kepler. What stood out with those guys?
Well, Kepler to me is way stronger, more of a specimen than I thought he was going to be. You know, I remember him as being a tall, lanky outfielder, kind of like you know, I think Cole said it the other day, kind of like Yelich.
Yeah.
He's not. He's a big dude. Like, he's got to be. And if he's healthy, he's going to put balls out of the ballpark, on a regular basis, particularly at our place. And I think he's going to be great in left field. I don't think it's going to be any problem in left field. So I'm excited about that. The flyer on 1 year and $10 million in this day and age is great in baseball. Romano's looked really good. And, you know, if he's healthy, I was just talking to DeMarlo Hale, who's the bench coach for the Blue Jays, who is managing today, and he said if he's healthy, he'll pitch every day, and I think that's a really good thing. And Lizardo, I've seen him twice live. I watched the game, was it yesterday? Yesterday. You know, I've always liked him, and I think if he's healthy and if his command is good, I think this is a steal for the Phillies.
I mean, 2 years ago, he started that playoff game against them. He had to be one of the top 20 pitchers in baseball.
He was
10-10
that year, but he was also playing in Miami. So if he got more offense, it would have been better. I think it's a really good pickup. He's excited about pitching at Citizens Bank Park. I mean, he is beyond juiced about that because he said it in the postseason. He loved it. Yep. He loved the fact that he was booed from the time he walked out of the dugout.
Yeah, that was cool. Tom McCarthy with us here. Midday Show. We're live in Clearwater, Philly spring training. Hugh Douglas going to throw out the first pitch. You didn't know about this until a couple minutes ago. It's going to be great.
What's he wearing today? What's he got? What's
a Lucky Charms
shirt.
Of course he does.
Yes. All right, so how do you
– Lucky
Charms. I know, it's perfect. He'll be great out there. How do you stack up at this division? Tom, I was looking at MLB.com's power rankings this morning. They had all three, Mets, Braves, Phillies, in the top five of baseball, and they're all in the same division. So it could be a great race. I think all three will make the playoffs. It's a matter of seeding, who wins the division. How do you stack it up division right now? And who's the biggest threat? Because the Phillies won it last year. So for you, is it the Braves again?
No.
It's the Mets.
It's the Mets to me. It is. And listen, the Braves are going to be very good. There's no doubt. I still don't know about their pitching. I really don't. I mean, Sale is really good.
It's thin behind him, though.
Yeah, Strider, if he's healthy, is obviously fine. But I think the Phillies can handle him if it comes to the postseason. Yep. So to me, it's the Mets. But they're also banged up now, too. I think the Alvarez injury hurts them to start. I think their pitching staff with Manaea banged up hurts them, too. I'm surprised when I see some of the Vegas odds makers having the Braves as the favorite to win the division. I thought they were last year, and I was honest about that. I still think we're the favorite to win this division, and I'm surprised that most places have the Mets or the Braves. It's funny. I've seen it like three different places. It's Braves, Phillies, Mets, Phillies, Braves or Mets, Phillies twice.
So Phillies second.
Everyone's Phillies.
Everybody.
Yeah.
And I'm just surprised by it.
Yeah,
but I do think it's a great division. Washington is the one. If you want to call it the best division in baseball, they've got to be better. If not, it's got to be the American League East as long as the Yankees are healthy.
As frustrating as that playoff series was last year, it was. So it's been a while since we had Mets and Phillies good at the same time. They usually take
doesn't
turns.
Happen.
It doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen.
It feels like we're going to have that now. Like they're both there now.
It's like 06, 07 was there was such a and I was on the other side of it then for those 2 years, and it was I thought it was great.
There's
like
something electric when the Mets come to Philadelphia and they're good and the Phillies are good. It's wild.
Although it tears my wife apart, obviously, because my son being the Mets broadcaster.
Yes.
So she's like,
this will be his second year?
This is his third.
Third.
Yeah, she's like, it's like killing her.
Oh,
it
sure.
killed her last year. Like, absolutely killed her last year. But, you know, it is what it is. I think it's hysterical that it's. You know, that we have that opportunity to have
that's
that.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's end with this. If you pick a player on the Phillies that we're not talking that much about, but you think we will be a couple months from now.
I think it's Bohm. Okay. I think it has to be him. That's the thing. Because in this lineup, as they get older, they need youthful exuberance to be able to be a bridge. And I think he will continue to mature. I really feel that way. Listen, he had 97 RBIs the last 2 years, and we've talked more about the way he finished than the way he played. I think he's the key. I really do. Because I think the other guys will be the other guys. I think he's the key.
Well, and he's going to hit right around Harper and Schwarber, however the lineup goes.
I agree with you. I think he's either going to hit fourth or fifth. He's going to be in that left-right mix, and he's going to be right in the middle of it.
And I'm with you. He has to, because if I'm in October, I'm not pitching to those guys. I'm going to make Bohm beat me.
Yeah. And it does have to be home runs. The one thing I do like this year, and he has this, his opposite field pop has been great. And it's not only the home runs, but the doubles he's hitting the opposite way and all that stuff. I think he's the key.
Well, that'd be great if he has a big year. T-Mac, we appreciate it, and we'll see you back in Philadelphia soon.
Looking forward to it.
There he goes, Tom McCarthy.
Thanks,
with
T-Mac.
Us. As we get set for Hugh Douglas's first pitch that he didn't know about until a little while ago.
Is he stalling, by the way?
Oh, of course he is. This feels a filibuster. There's no question. 215-592-9494. All right, so on the record, do we think he gets it over the plate?
Oh, no, there's zero chance he gets it over the plate.
Yeah, I think – and because he's unprepared, this could be an all-timer.
Right,
he could throw it clean over the catcher.
Like, he spent a long time preparing for the first one, and he couldn't get that one over the plate.
Yeah, this
What makes you think he's going to get this
no
one?
No shot. All right, 215-592-9494. We appreciate T-Mac hopping in and being on the show there. So another one on the Sanchez train. I mean, Sanchez feels like he's got the most hype at anyone. And that – it feels like we're hearing good things, Kyle, here about Kepler. Kepler's turned some heads.
Yeah, everybody's talking about Max Kepler. And I didn't – I mean, I guess I should have known this, but I didn't know he was going to be kind of – I didn't know he would also add some of that power element to the lineup.
Yeah.
Like, he's another guy that – and who was it? Was it talking about 30 home runs added to the lineup? I mean, that's a huge deal.
There is a chance. I remember when the Phillies got Raul Ibanez, and then he had that great first half. It wouldn't shock me if Kepler's healthy, if he has one big season here or a good season, and then he get back to being a free agent next year. But that Ibanez sign, I don't know if people quite expected him to be as good as he was when he first got here.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Yeah, and like it does. So it feels like, I don't know if the Phillies are necessarily banking on him being like a great player for them, but it feels like once again they're sort of banking on some of these younger guys to take that next step forward and to really carry them throughout the rest of the season. I like what T-Mac said about Alec Bohm, and he is that important because he's not like the rest of the guys in the lineup, where he's trying to hit the like crush the 10-run home run every time. He's a guy that actually puts the bat on the ball and puts it to all field. So I think he's the key, and Bryson Stott's the key. It's got to be these young guys that step up.
Yeah, and for Bohm, I mean, he's close to a contract. I mean, right. And they have Aiden Miller coming, who could become a third baseman. Like, this is for him, not just for his Phillies career, but just his career.
Make or break.
Yeah, he needs this one. 215-592-949. Let's go back to the phones here. Neil in the Northeast is up on WIP Talking Phillies. Hey, Neil.
Must be nice, clear water. Is Douglas referring to the Fanatic or Garrett Stubbs, or who is he referring to?
You know what? That's
a good question.
They haven't stepped on the field yet. I'll let everyone know, but I'm hoping it's the Fanatic. That would be the best.
I think the wind's actually going to affect them.
Yeah,
too.
It is. Yeah, Neil, it's nice down here today. It's sunny, but it is very windy. Like, enough that it could.
30-mile-an-hour winds.
Yep,
or so.
It's crazy.
Hugh might blow over like out the there. Yeah.
Well,
go ahead, Neil.
But I agree with Tom said. The Phillies still have great starting pitching. The only thing with Painter, you want to go slow with him because you want him ready with June. You don't want him to get hurt again. And they've had a lot, you know, like with Stott being injured, I guess you would say Realmuto's knee. And there's free agency with the Phillies. I mean, like you said, I don't think they have a backup, although Stubbs is actually having a good spring. And, you know, like, the other catcher is a good defensive catcher. But I still would sign JT for another year. And definitely Schwarber maybe another 2 or 3 years. Because his 40 home runs and he hit 250, you know, like, that makes a huge difference. And he's one of the leaders. I mean, after Harper, definitely Schwarber is one of the leaders of the team. No doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, Schwarber's offense would be very hard to replace, Neil. I mean, with all those walks, all those times on base, all those home runs, they need him. I mean, he hasn't been signed yet, so I don't know if it's going to go to the offseason. But, yeah, I think they need them both. Because right now, that doesn't feel like they have a backup plan to either of those guys.
Yeah. Yeah, well, also, like, Boris is the agent for Ranger Suarez. So I hope he has a jump-back season. But, you know, Boris is going to ask for a lot of money.
Well, if he pitches well, he'll ask for a ton. That's what he does. Neil, appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I don't see the Ranger thing happening. I don't think they're going to re-sign him.
Yeah, probably not. But it is
they
also...
They have Lizardo. They have Painter coming.
Right. So, I mean, I guess to that point, and you mentioned this with Alec Bohm, too, if these guys are in their contract years, and that's what sort of causes them to take that next step forward,
yeah.
I mean, I'm totally okay with that. Like, go put on that performance with us this year. That could be the thing that puts us over the top.
Yeah, well, the Phillies benefit. I mean, yeah. And to the point on that our last caller, Neil, was mentioned with Painter, it's a slow play because they need those innings for later on. That's going to be, I think, as I just like look forward, that's going to be one of the biggest things we're debating all summer is what they're doing with him, how they're using him. And, like, they can't let those bullets go out of the holster before October.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
They need to save a good amount for October.
Right.
And I don't know if that means it's a six-man rotation, or he doesn't start till August, or he's in the bullpen. But, like, that's when they need him.
Yeah, that'll be interesting because, I mean, one, he's a young guy. He's coming off of the UCL repair surgery. And you don't want him to be out of bullets by the time October comes around. So I'm going to be very curious to see how they handle Andrew Painter's workload this season.
Well, they slow played this whole spring training. He was, like, only playing catch until, like, I think a couple weeks ago. He threw a BP for the first time. So they're being cautious. They have to be. But then there's also that temptation. If they have an injury early on and he's dominating in AAA, you know the temptation is going to be there just to bring him up. Like, what are we doing? Like, you got to get him up here. So that one, it's a good problem to have. When you have a pitcher this talented, but also, you know, we know it. It's just the way it works. And they're not going to let him have a full season. He hasn't pitched enough.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have too much pitching. Like, especially with the way injuries go in baseball, and the Phillies have been relatively lucky, I think, over the year. I mean, Aaron Nola is a horse. He never gets injured. But Zach Wheeler's had a bit of an injury history in his past, too. So, like, you're going to need every single arm that you can get. I mean, Ranger, too. Ranger gets injured, too. So
he does. Well, and this whole thing, it actually helped Ranger Suarez because maybe he won't have to pitch as much as the season goes along. 215-592-9494. We're live. Phillies spring training here on the Midday Show. Phil's about to play a 1 o'clock game against the Toronto Blue Jays, and Hugh Douglas has departed the show to go down to the field to throw out a first pitch that he didn't know he was going to have to throw out.
He's stalling still, by the way. I think he's ducking us having, having this happen
on
the show.
I was sent this photo, so I think Hugh's met some friends down there.
He's with
and
the
I think
Hooters
he,
girls?
Yes, he's with the Hooters
Good for him.
Ladies down there. Yep. Hugh met some friends. He might be delayed. All right, let's go to Big Al in Mullica Hill. Hey, Big Al.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, Al.
With all this talk about, you know, the leadoff hitter and all this other kind of stuff, how many times does an actual leadoff hitter actually lead off? Once, and that's at the beginning of the game. Kyle Schwarber has given them 15 or 16 1-0 leads over the year, which is great incentive for the team, and he's not going to see those same pitches if he bats fourth. What you're doing, if it's not broke, you don't fix it.
Al, I'm with you. If it was up to me, I would leave Schwarber exactly where he is. I think he's really good at it. And I think that opening, just his presence to start the game, I think it does put some fear in the opposing pitcher, and it changes the way. You're right, when he gives them those 1-0 leads, that's an advantage. Like, they have something most teams don't have. Al, it just feels like they're trying to figure out something they could change to try to get better results, and this is what they've come up with.
They're not going to get better results. They're overthinking it, and I think it's stupidity to play with something that is working.
The results will tell us that, but I'm more with you. I mean, I think I would leave it alone. Al, good phone call. The one thing about Schwarber hitting cleanup, and it was interesting hearing T-Mac talk about how Cole Hamels talked about it last week, with he'd approach him differently, pitch him differently in the fourth spot. Kyle, the one thing about Schwarber's strikeouts, like when he strikes out to start the game, we all kind of shrug our shoulders and say, all right, Turner, you're up now.
Right.
If he's batting fourth and there's two guys on, that strikeout hurts.
Killer.
More.
Yeah. And like I know everybody likes to think about the best case scenario with Kyle Schwarber hitting four, and that's grand slams, right? And turn solo home runs into four-run homers, but that's just not going to be the case. I mean, he strikes out a lot more than he hits home runs. I mean, that's just the reality
Probably four times as much.
Right. So it almost benefits you to keep those at the top of the lineup. You do get the solo shots. You do get the home runs, which can be an igniter, but also, like, really this comes down to if the rest of the lineup's hitting. Kyle Schwarber hit a leadoff home run against the Mets, and then they did nothing else after that. The rest of these guys have to step up and do their part. It's like everyone's going to complain about Kyle Schwarber in the leadoff if the lineup's not hitting, but I can guarantee you that's going to be the least of their issues.
Yeah, and like we like to think a new role means they're going to play differently or hit differently. Probably not. They'll probably just be themselves in that role. I mean, Schwarber, he strikes out. I mean, that's part of the equation when you have Kyle Schwarber. Really, this works no matter where they're hitting or doesn't work if Turner's good. The lineup worked the way it was when Turner was hot.
Right. I mean, it comes down to Trey, and it comes down to Alec Boehm. And it's going to be like that all season long, and it's going to be especially like that in the postseason. Those are the two guys that need to step up and do their jobs this year if the Phillies are going to go deep.
Yeah, and look, we do this a lot. We make, like, the two predictable – there's three predictable players in the Phillies, maybe four if you include Nola. But, like, Wheeler and Harper and Schwarber, we know what they're going to be. They're very predictable. They're going to be excellent or really good in terms of Schwarber. It's the other guys. This season will hinge on how good the other guys
are. Yeah, it's the guys around the edges that are sort of the X factors for the season. I mean, both in the lineup and in the bullpen, right? Jose Alvarado, he's a guy that needs to bounce back.
Yep.
It's Ranger Suarez is going to need to have a sort of a bounce back season. Like, there's a lot of guys. It's not just the main guys that, like you said, we know who they are. It's going to be the guys around the edges.
No doubt. 215-592-9494. All right, on the other side, your phone calls.
There's you.
I know he's head out for the first pitch. Are we, as a fan base, underrating the Phillies? I believe we are. Where do you come down on that? Are you starting to worry? The Eagles now lose Mekhi Becton, another loss. Are you starting to have some worry about all the Eagles' losses? We will tell you how Hugh's first pitch goes here. Of course, all your phone calls. An update on bracketology of Hugh Douglas's. We worked on this last night. And something we found out this morning about Citizens Bank Park that might surprise you. All coming up next. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. Great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes a little expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all, satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.